Did you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love.
Hi, this is Don Margolis. The name of the show is The Truth About Stem Cells. There's a strong reason for that title, The Truth About Stem Cells, and that reason is that if you live in a developed country, you're not allowed to hear the true information about stem cells because Big Pharma controls medicine in every developed country in the world. And you are not allowed to hear or read in any newspaper or in any medical journals the truth about stem cells. And that's what we're going to go with here. We're going to start out with a brief history of stem cells, how they developed, and bring you up all the way up to from the very beginning up to the year 2004 when things changed dramatically. So let's start. Back in the 19th century, a Spanish neuroscientist by the name of Cajal, Santiago Ramón y Cajal, was noted as the godfather of neuroscience. He was, if I may say so, the world's first neurologist. He had one major point that's important to us in his dogma about, and his rules, and he was much respected, no new neurons. That is, the brain cannot create new neurons, and so if some part of the brain dies, it cannot be fixed. We skip forward to 1908. The term stem cell was proposed for scientific use by a Russian histologist, Alexander Maximov, at a Congress of Hematologic Society. Now, hematology is the study of blood, and Maximov postulated the existence of blood stem cells. But it was only a hypothesis. He was not able to prove it, and nobody would be able to prove it for decades. In the 1960s, a couple of scientists, Altman and Das, presented scientific evidence of adult neurogenesis. That is, they had evidence that the brain was possible, in some cases, for the brain to regenerate dead tissue. And such ongoing stem cell activity in the brain, their reports contradicted Cajal's no new neurons and were ignored. And that leads us to a basic rule of science. For everyone who dares to step into the future and progress on a long existing science, there are 1,000 men guarding the gates of the past and not letting you through. So because Cajal said so and he was God as far as neurologists were concerned, Altman and Das were ignored in the 60s. In 1963, two scientists named McCullough and Till had illustrated the presence of self-renewing cells in bone marrow, mouse bone marrow. And this is the first real proof that there was such a thing as stem cells. A year later, the definition of blood-related stem cells, hematopoiesis, was initiated, and these cells perform two functions. Number one, they differentiate into mature blood elements, and two, they maintain and renew the population of stem cells. So if you have a stem cell, it divides into two, and one part becomes the tissue that it is next to. For instance, if it's in the heart, it becomes a heart tissue cell. And the other daughter cell is stem cells. So they're repopulating themselves, and at the same time, they are becoming the cells you want them to become to repair the organ. That was the theory back in 1964. Now we'll skip forward a little bit to 1986. There was a hematologist named Shimon Slavin. He was Israeli, and he was very well known, and very well known for his genius. And he was at a hematological convention, and he got up in front of the doctors and said the following. He said, this is 1986. He said, I'm sure that within the next 10 or 15 years, we will be treating diseases with stem cells. And they laughed at him. Who ever heard of such a thing? Stem cells are something that nobody ever heard of. They're part of what's called bone marrow, and bone marrow is being used increasingly at that time to something called leukemia or other blood diseases. But nobody had the idea that they could treat disease and improve the lives of patients. Slavin was laughed at, but within 5 years, he was cells out of Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem to treat terminal cancer. Oncologists would send them their dying patients, and if they qualified, he could save about 30% of them, bring them into remission using stem cells. That now takes us to 1998. 1998 was the big year for stem cells. And it's due to two very talented research doctors. The first one, his name is James Thompson. He was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he was the first one to isolate embryonic stem cells. Jamie, he's known as Jamie in the business, Jamie turned over his material to the University of Wisconsin, and they promptly patented everything, and everybody was sure that this was the future of stem cells. But what they didn't count on was a lady doctor at Duke University at the time. This lady's name was Doris Taylor, and she headed up a team that was studying stem cells at Duke University. And Doris, in 1997, noticed something about her mice. She noticed that if she fed them unhealthy, heart-hurting diets, they became heart patients. And once they became heart patients, she tried to treat them with adult stem cells. And eventually, she found a way to treat them and decided to start a clinical trial, which was publishable. That clinical trial was completed in 1998, roughly the same time Dr. Thompson at Madison finished his work and announced it. She wrote the paper, and it was published in 1998. And it turns out to be the trigger for all stem cell treatments in the world today. I'll repeat that. Doris Taylor, her clinical trial with lab animals was the trigger that started every stem cell treatment that's available in the world today. In 1999, doctors all over the world, seeing how amazing her clinical trial was, that the heart, breaking the 100-year rule that you couldn't replace heart tissue, and you couldn't repair heart tissue. She did it with mice. And doctors all over the world created their own animal trials to prove or disprove Taylor's findings. By the year 2000, no one could disprove Taylor. They tried different animals. They tried different selection of stem cells. They tried different methods of implanting. All over the world, they tried these tests, and all over the world, they succeeded. And the lab animals got better. It wasn't just mice. Some used pigs. Some used rabbits. But they all worked. But the shocking thing was what happened late in the year 2000. Taylor had said, she later said, that she expected it to take 15 to 20 years before they dared to treat humans. Well, the animal tests were so surprisingly strong that they, in these countries, France, Holland, Brazil, Germany, and Hong Kong, they treated human heart patients in the lab. And the treatments in the lab were successful. So three major human clinical trials in the year 2001, that's less than 3 years after Taylor's paper, they started major clinical trials in Brazil, Hong Kong, and Germany. Well, needless to say now, we know that those trials were successful. And the shocker of shockers, the American Heart Association accepted the Brazilian paper and publicized it and made it available to every doctor in the world. Here was a major heart doctors organization, and they are publicizing the fact that stem cells work. This was the very last time in April 2003 that you, if you live in North America or in Western Europe or even Japan, that you were allowed to know the truth about stem cells. Because after that, the bosses took over. We'll get on to that next. Let's pause for a moment.
Since 2005, Don Margulis has been quietly earning the title of the voice of stem cell science for his tireless advocacy of the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells to help patients recover from more than 100 different diseases and medical conditions, including the big three chronic killers in the U.S., cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margulis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on VBS Radio.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margulis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Hi, welcome back. This is Don Margulis again, and we are going to get into what happened in 2003 and the result of what happened in 2003. I'm going to make a few statements along the way which you're not going to believe. Now, if you wish to verify the claims I am making, just get on your computer, and I'll tell you what to load at the time so you can look it up yourself. Pharma saw that their profits were about to be challenged. Now, first of all, let's talk about those profits. I'm not talking about sales now. I'm talking about profits. Those profits are $15 million per week. No, not per week. Oh, per day. $15 million a day. No, not per day. Those profits, as of 2011, the latest full year for reports, was $15 million per hour, which adds up to roughly $250 million a day. Now, when you have $250 million a day coming in, you rule the world. And they rule the world like you will not believe. And I know you're not going to believe much of the stuff that I tell you, but I will give you a chance to prove it to yourself. Pharma saw that all they have is pills which have never cured any chronic disease. They created the embryonic hoax, a perfect plan, the only way they could keep adult stem cells from reducing profits. Here's the way it works. Now remember, you're a big pharma. You control every major newspaper in the developed world. Either you own a piece of that paper, or you advertise in that paper enough that if you removed your advertising, the paper would go out of business. And when you're talking about $1 billion in advertising for newspapers, if you kick one out, that paper goes out of business. So Pharma gave them the rules. Now, you don't have to believe these rules, but I challenge you to find any newspaper that breaks them. You are not allowed to have a positive article about adult stem cells and put the word adult in front of the word stem cells. So what does that mean? Well, if you have an embryonic stem cell article, fine. You print that article, and we'll give you plenty of them, dear newspapers. We'll print that article and make sure you put the word embryonic stem cell in front of the word stem cell. And every article that's about embryonic stem cells, and they're all lies, will tell you how wonderful embryonic stem cells are and that there's a future of coming medicine. In the early days, back in 04, 05, it was, as soon as George Bush gets out of the White House, embryonic cures will come pouring out of the pipeline. That was the line, and that was the line that every newspaper used, every medical journal used, every medical science used, and every university who depended on tens of million dollars of research dollars coming from pharma, they all said the same line. As soon as George Bush gets out of office, cures, the embryonic cures, will come out of the pipeline. Oh, adult stem cells? Oh, no. They're unproven. And that unproven message is still around today after over 50,000 human beings around the world have had their lives improved using adult stem cells. To the liars that you're forced to listen to, that you're forced to read, you're forced to watch on CBS News, you're forced to read in their crooked medical journals, you're forced to listen to, they're unproven. 50,000 treated human beings living better lives? No, that's unproven. Meanwhile, embryonic stem cells are going to come pouring out of the pipeline as soon as Bush leaves office. And the minute 6 weeks after he was inaugurated, Barack Obama announced that he was lifting all bans against embryonic stem cells, and the cures are going to come pouring out of the pipeline. Well, as I'm sure you can figure out for yourself, that was 4 years and 3 months ago. We're still waiting for the first cure to come pouring out of the pipeline. The answer is, and the truth is, there will never be an embryonic stem cell that can be put into a human being without spending about 10 times as much money as adult stem cells cost you to prevent it from causing cancer or causing your immune system from rejecting it and starting a war inside your body. Nobody will be treated with embryonic stem cells in your lifetime. But that doesn't stop them from lying to you and tell you the future pouring out of the pipeline. Well, the pipeline hasn't poured out one drop, and nor will it. I am positive that in your lifetime, even the FDA, which is owned by pharma, will never approve a pure embryonic stem cell being implanted for anybody for a disease. Yes, you can spend $50,000 to make a stem cell that won't kill the patient, but who wants to pay that kind of money when you can do it for next to nothing with adult stem cells? But don't worry, you can't read that anywhere. You're not allowed to read that. The other thing you're not allowed to read is that embryonic stem cells have slaughtered tens of thousands of lab animals around the world, tens of thousands of them, and they are still slaughtering them because they can't figure a way to stop the cancer from coming on. So that, but you're never allowed to read that. You won't read it anywhere. You won't read it on any article on a Stanford website or a Harvard website or Johns Hopkins or the University of Pennsylvania. They know their job is to lie to you so that farmers' profits don't go down and they still get all their money from pharma for their own research. So it's lies, lies, lies. That's the price of being in a medical system where profits are number one and patients come in last. Farmers' profits are more important to the vast majority of doctors and the huge majority of medical researchers in North America. I don't know what the ratio is like in Europe, but it's not much better. Now, to give you an idea, this is something you can look up. This is something you can look up in your on your website. In the embryonic hoax was officially started on January 1st, 2004. And here's what happened on January 1st, 2004. For the 2 years prior, 2002 and 2003, the three major medical journals in the United States of America and Canada, too, for that matter, were called Nature, Science, and the vastly esteemed but hugely corrupt New England Journal of Medicine. I have 20, 30 pages of articles about the New England Journal's corruption that have nothing to do with stem cells. But in 2002, 2003, these three journals averaged between them one positive article about adult stem cells every month. That is, in those 2 years, there were more than 24 articles, positive articles about adult stem cells. Now, if you can believe it, if you're that dumb and you think that here we go along with it, they can't get enough articles, they're publishing one every month, suddenly, January of 2004, boom, it's against the law, and the law in this case is pharma's law, to publish an article about adult stem cells, a positive article in your medical journal. And these three medical journals stopped printing articles and started lying to your doctors who read them and saying adult stem cells don't work, adult stem cells are unproven, blah, blah, blah. And that went on for 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. 8 years and only 6 articles about adult stem cells in 3 medical journals in 8 years. Meanwhile, thousands of people are being treated around the world. Their lives are being improved. And what do you hear? Only what your newspaper is allowed to print. Only what CBS gets paid money to lie to you about. Only what your poor doctor who can't find out the truth because the drug company employees come around, they call them detail men. The drug company detail men come around, hand them free gifts, hand them bribes, hand them money, hand them checks, hand them instructions and say, adult stem cells are unproven. If a patient asks you, you tell them that. And of course, since well over 80% of Americans are trained at MD, stands for medical deity, they believe everything their doctors tell them. And if they have a chronic disease, their lifespan, their expected life, has been reduced by 5 to 15 years. I'll repeat that statement very slowly so you hear what I'm saying clearly. If you are diagnosed with a chronic disease, and I'll name a few, there's heart disease, there's diabetes, there's kidney disease, there's liver disease, there's lung disease like COPD is called now, there's multiple sclerosis, there's muscular dystrophy, there's cerebral palsy, there's autism. These are all chronic diseases, meaning there's no cure for them. So what standard medicine does is treat symptoms. You go to the doctor with disease and he gives you, well, try this pill, it'll make you feel a little better. Well, of course, what happens there is two things. Number one, it does nothing to slow the progress of, Nothing to slow the progress of the disease. Therefore, your lifespan is cut down by the fact that the disease is progressing and you're not. The second thing is every drug, every pharmaceutical drug, that's not 99% of them, 100% of them have side effects. Even aspirins have side effects, although they're kind of minimal. But aspirins do have side effects. But all the other drugs have side effects. And your doctor doesn't want to know about side effects and doesn't want to know your complaints about the side effects of the pills he gave you. I'll explain that one later after the next break about the doctors don't want to know. I know it's hard for you to believe, so I'm going to have to prove it to you. But meanwhile, let's give you a perfect example of what it means about a chronic disease reducing your life expectation. Let's take a couple of healthy twin brothers. It's their 65th birthday, and they've both been healthy, never had a disease that they know about, and they go in for a checkup. And brother A is told, you're perfectly healthy, nothing's wrong with them, keep doing what you're doing, your healthy lifestyle, you're not too fat, you exercise, you don't smoke, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Patient B also doesn't smoke. Might be a trifle overweight, but nothing serious. But the doctor sees something he doesn't like and sends him to a cardiologist, and the cardiologist says, sorry, Mr. B, you have congestive heart failure. That minute that he is diagnosed, based on a huge clinical trial in Europe that took place starting back in the early 90s and goes on to this day, that in less than 6 years from the minute you're diagnosed with congestive heart failure, half the patients are dead. In less than 6 years. The other half go on living, but they have roughly triple the mortality rate that Brother A has. And the result of that is this. If the patient is one of the surviving half, remember, half of them died already, their life expectancy is roughly age 73. Meanwhile, the healthy patient who doesn't have a chronic disease has a life expectancy today of 85. Say those numbers again. The healthy guy has an expectation of 85. Healthy ladies are slightly longer. It used to be a two-year difference between men and women, but at age 65, it all balances out, and women are only a couple months longer than men on expectation. 85 is the expectation for a healthy 65-year-old. 73, if you survive the first 6 years, is the expectation for congestive heart failure patients. And it's not just those diseases. The same sort of numbers work for diabetes. And a 50-year-old diabetic has a far shorter life expectancy than a 50-year-old non-diabetic. Muscular dystrophy, even worse. These horrible neurological diseases, they just die even younger. Spinal cord injury patients. They die younger still. The spinal cord paralyzed patient is very lucky to live 20 years, and most of these people are paralyzed in their 20s. So that is the way it is in standard medicine. Now let's move on to the next subject, which is the biggest hoax, the biggest single hoax going on in North America today. There's plenty of them, but back in the year 2004, at the instruction of Big Pharma, a crook by the name of Klein figured a way that he could make a lot of money for his friends by taking advantage of pharma's generosity and hoaxing California voters into Proposition 71. What Klein did was say, we're going to research stem cells, raise money, and give them to stem cell researchers in order that they could perform cures. What he didn't say was that he was going to follow pharma's instructions and only allow embryonic stem cells to be researched, and not adult stem cells, and that the money was going to go to most of the doctors and the research doctors at the University of California, 19 schools, and they were not going to go for research. Those dollars were going to go to make those schools richer and the doctors more important, and nobody but nobody seriously thought that they were going to come up with an embryonic cure. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Klein appointed a guy to run the, to be the president of this organization called CIRM. And after, I think it was less than a year, he saw what a crooked operation was and he said he wanted no part of it. And he resigned. And they found a lady to take his place. And this lady saw, as fast as the gentleman before her, that it was a crooked operation, that there were no cures ever going to come out of it. And remember, this is back in 04 and 05, that she resigned. So here's Klein scratching his head. He says, how am I going to find somebody crooked enough to run this crooked operation so I can bribe all the doctors in the California system with grants and get a piece for myself? Well, Here's what he did. He looked around California, nobody. Nobody's willing to be a crook. He went across America. He went to New York. He went to Texas. Couldn't find a crook. And then he found one. Where did he find one? Canada? No. Not in North America. Europe? Nope. No. Further away even. Down in Australia, there was a crook by the name of Tronson. T-R-O-U-N-S-O-N. And Tronson had been accused of being in charge of an embryonic research and trial. And he manipulated the figures. And Klein said to himself, hey, this guy's perfect for us. He's a crook. Another reporter in Adelaide, Australia, interviewed Tronson before all this happened, and he said, I heard, Dr. Tronson, that lab animals are dying by the hundreds due to embryonic research. Oh, no, no, that's a total lie. No, 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 no lab animals ever die. Well, of course, that was a huge lie. And this guy reported it to his editor, and the editor researched it himself and found other embryonic doctors that said, of course, lab animals are dying by the hundreds. And so they challenged him on it, and they got somebody to interview him. He said, oh, no, I never said that. But the big thing was they caught him fudging the figures on his embryonic trial. And, of course, for Klein and the crooked CIRM, that was perfect. And they hired him, and they got, and since they had the cooperation of all the newsletters, all the newspapers, and all the televisions, and all the medical journals, nobody ever mentioned the fact that Tronson was a lying researcher in charge of a lying embryonic operation. He got an underling to step up and say, hey, this is all my fault. So Tronson said, well, gee, I was in charge, but I never knew this. The figures were crooked. Now, you believe that is probably a bridge in New York that you can buy very cheap. Tronson is a liar, and he gets paid twice as much as the governor for conning you out of money. And now Klein and Tronson are now coming to publicly, and they put up this big phony website for CIRM. California Institute of Regenerative Medicine. So you go to CIRM.com or .gov, CIRM.ca for California, .gov for government, and you can see how they lie everywhere. They never tell you that nobody has ever been treated in the 8 years they've been in business. Nobody has ever been treated or anybody that's sick can go to a doctor and say, hey, I've got this disease. I want that. I want these treatments that we're paying for. Where do I get them? And the doctors have to laugh to themselves. Let's take a quick time out, and we'll come back, and we'll point out some very, very, very specific lies at CIRM.ca.gov.
Since 2005, Don Margulis has been quietly earning the title of the voice of stem cell science for his tireless advocacy of the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells to help patients recover from more than 100 different diseases and medical conditions, including the big three chronic killers in the U.S., cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margulis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on VBS Radio.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Margolis coming back. We're on the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. And now we come to the third crook on that show, on that threesome, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, as you probably know by now, the Democrat Party has been suckered into rallying for embryonic stem cells. The reason they did that was because George Bush seemed to be against it. George Bush wasn't against embryonic stem cells. It was a political move. But the Democrat Party was all for embryonic stem cells and doesn't want to hear about adult stem cells. Well, after a few years, it became obvious it was a bunch of baloney. And in the California legislature, a lady legislature, member of the legislature, her first name was Sheila, her last name escapes me, said, hey, how come we don't give any money for adult stem cells when they got all the cures and all, giving all our money for embryonic stem cells? Well, the true answer to her question was, of course, the money wasn't for cures. It was to make people rich, people like Klein, people like Trumpton, and people like Schwarzenegger, and all the crooked doctors in the entire California system that said they were going to do this but didn't come up with cures. So here comes Schwarzenegger to answer this Democrat who surprisingly asked for adult stem cells. Research, and he says, and he lied publicly, and not one newspaper, not one doctor challenged the governor when he says the voters voted for embryonic stem cells. Well, if you bother, you go on the internet and look up Proposition 71, and you will see that it doesn't say embryonic or adult, it says stem cells. But they have to lie to you so they can cheat you out of your money by making all the research money useless, so that the doctors can cut in on it, so that the principal people can cut in on it. They all got their money, and rich universities like Stanford, who's the richest university west of the Mississippi, has billions and billions of dollars, stole $200 million from you taxpayers, and didn't come up with one cure, didn't even come up with a try. What they came up with was new buildings for Stanford. That's where your money's going. Now let's move on to the website. They have some frequently asked questions and questions and answers, and here come some of the biggest lies. One of the questions, I've heard that adult stem cells are as good or better than embryonic stem cells. Boy, they can't let that one go wrong. So here's the answer. Adult stem cells are extremely valuable and have great potential for future therapy. That's small lie number one. It ain't future. It's now and yesterday, therapies for 100 diseases spread around the world. But they say that's a small lie, future therapies. However, these cells are very restricted in what they can do. Blood-forming stem cells can treat some blood disease. Stop. A huge, huge lie meant to convince you that you don't need adult stem cells so pharma can get away with keeping it from you and killing you. I repeat, and killing you. You can't get stem cells because you got to go overseas. Your crooked insurance won't cover it. Your crooked doctor will tell you it doesn't work. And all the big shots say it's unproven. So they don't want you to ruin pharma's profits that they're making on pills, which kill you. The truth is, blood-forming stem cells can treat virtually anything, not just blood diseases. They can repair your heart. They can repair your diabetes in your pancreas. They can repair your lungs. They can repair your brain as far as multiple sclerosis is concerned. But you're not allowed to know this because you are a, I don't want to use that word, but you are not allowed to use it. You are a patient lab rat. Brain stem cells may be able to treat some neural diseases, but those stem cells cannot turn into other tissue types. Lie, lie, lie. All stem cells have a chance to turn into anything you want them to. And here is the original science that embryonic doctors use. And just mentioned here in this question and answer thing. Listen carefully. There was doctors in the very early days. They would take a jar and fill it with embryonic stem cells. And they take another jar and fill it with adult stem cells. And they look at them. They look at the jar and they go home, come back the next morning. The embryonic stem cells were bubbling over with activity. And the adult stem cells were sitting there laying around. And that led to this answer, which I'm going to read to you now. What's more, adult stem cells don't grow indefinitely in the lab, unlike embryonic stem cells, and they aren't as flexible in the types of diseases they can treat. Lie, lie, lie. But they're right about the lab. Embryonic stem cells, ask yourself a simple question. What do embryonic stem cells want to do? Of course, you know the answer to that is make a baby. And they will try to make a baby. In that jar that they're stored in, they go active in trying to grow and grow and grow and divide and grow and grow. Well, they're not in a womb and they ain't going to become a baby. And when they put them in your body is not a womb. And when they go to your brain, they say, I'm done doing what I'm doing. I'm going to make a baby. And they start to make a baby in your brain and it turns into cancer. So that's the scientists, and then they look at the adult stem cells, oh my God, they're just sitting there not doing anything. Well, of course they're not. Their job is to repair things that are broke, and they ain't nothing broke in that jar. So they sit there and wait their turn to do something. But to these so-called scientists, embryonic stem cells grow in the lab, and they're damn sure going to grow in your body if you put them in there. It's true that the news is full of stories about people who had great results from stem cell therapies. Few of these therapies are part of big trials that can test to be sure that a potential therapy is safe and effective. Well, let's see. Standard medicine slaughters over 100 patients an hour, 24 hours a day, with poisonous pills, with machines that don't work, with false diagnosis, with one hospital error after hospital error. 100 patients an hour die at the hands of standard medicine. But stem cells, they've been around treating people now for 8 years, and they have averaged one death every 2 years. So they're not safe. 50,000 people are walking around with better lives, but they were lucky. They weren't one of the one person that dies every 2 years. We need a big clinical trial. This is the key sentence. Until some of these large trials take place with both adult and embryonic stem cells, we won't know which cells are the most effective for different diseases. Well, that's true. We won't. But your choice is this. Wait for somebody to put up $500 million for that large clinical trial they're talking about, or die young of your chronic disease. That's your choice. That's your choice in medicine today. So one more thing to look at the California thing, the California website, is they show where their money is. And the answer is they have a list of the grants for stem cells. And there are three kinds of stem cells, namely, that they're treating, that they're funding. One is embryonic, one is adult, and the other is called induced pluripotent stem cells, which are embryonic-like stem cells that you don't have to kill a baby to make. And so there's a lot of political persuasion for induced pluripotent stem cells. So that way, all the dummies who think that embryonic stem cells are the future and that adult stem cells are unproven, that they all cheer for embryonic and induced pluripotent stem cells. And the debate goes on, the religious debate, the political debate goes on. But here's what California, finally, 2-3 years ago, after 5 years of nothing but giving money away for something that can never work, they finally started giving some money to adult stem cell treatment. And the answer is something around 18% of the grants have been for adult stem cells, and all the rest have been for that which doesn't work, embryonic and induced pluripotent stem cells. Induced pluripotent stem cells have been around since November 2007, and embryonic stem cells have been around since Jamie Thompson in 1998, and we're still waiting for our first successful patient to be announced. I'll settle for curing a hangnail. I don't know what you'll settle for. Finally, this people don't believe me when I tell them this, so I challenge them to find one. The law in USA says in order to write a positive article about adult stem cells, you cannot put the word adult in front of the word stem cell. I'll say that again. You're not allowed to put the word adult in front of the word stem cell. Now, will you find that law in the books? No, you won't find that law in the books. You'll find it, but if you write a positive article about adult stem cells, you better not put the word adult there. You just say stem cells. So the suckers in the United States public think you're talking about the only stem cells they ever heard of, embryonic stem cells. So you write this beautiful article saying, like all adult stem cells articles, they're positive and they're successful. And so you write this positive, successful article, leave out the word adult, just call them stem cells, and all the people believe, see, embryonic stem cells work. And that's the way you are treated, like a patient lab rat. You do what they tell you to do. You do what your medical deity tells you to do. And you die young. That is enough for the California Institute. This is our last minute or so on the Food and Drug Administration, which we're going to center on next time. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. I know you're not going to believe this, but it's owned and operated by Big Pharma. It is not operated by the government. It's owned and operated by Big Pharma. The government pays for most of it, but Pharma runs it, and which means that if you take a vaccine that was approved in the 21st century, you know that it was a clinical trial, which they didn't tell you what the negatives are. If you have a drug that was approved in the 21st century, since the year 2000, you know that the approval system was not done in the United States. It was done in foreign countries, and the foreign doctor was told, you want to get paid? Here's what you're going to find, and that's what they find. And here's what you're not going to find, and here's what they don't find. That is medicine today. But here is a wonderful example, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. We're in the last minute now. In 2009, some serious concerned doctors said that stents, drug-eluting stents, which are common now, are poisonous and they kill people. And the FDA says, okay, you doctors, you can be on this committee and we'll throw a couple of our doctors on the committee and we'll investigate this and see if it really is poisonous. Well, it's a multi-billion dollar business and you don't stop a multi-million dollar business in the United States. Out came the hundreds of millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars from the companies that make their billions on poisonous stents. And they went to the senators and the congressmen and got support there with money, and then went to the FDA and got support there with them. And 3 months later, the FDA said, we are going to have the hearing on stents, except that here is the actual committee we're going to use. And they named nine doctors, all of whom made hundreds of thousands of dollars a year killing people with stents. So they can continue killing people with stents. Later on, they pass the law that says you cannot charge a person with murder for killing people intentionally. You can charge the corporation that does it, but you can't charge the people in charge of the corporation who actually commit the murder. You cannot, no state can indict them for murder. That's the way the law works in the United States. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed telling it. We'll be back next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, Friday afternoon. That's 8 o'clock Eastern. And we'll be back with more about the FDA and a lot more about the effect of Doris Taylor. Bye for now.
Some stem cell doctors are more experienced than others. The Repair Stem Cell Institute has strict rules for recommending treatment centers. When you visit our website, click on Treatment Centers on the top menu, and you will find out what I consider to be the 7 best stem cell treatment centers in the world. Why? Because their accomplishments are legend. We have listed the diseases and the conditions they treat, the location of the center, and a quick email connection so you can contact them yourself today. Check out the famous doctors whom we list. You can Google their names, and you'll find thousands of informative articles about them. If you still have a problem, go to Contact Us and email or phone me. We go out of our way to get the word out. Any email or phone call could be another life improved. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute so that you will have all of the information you need about this amazing field of medical self-repair. The information on this site could just save the life of someone you love.